Hey, welcome back again to Two Guys in a Toolbox. This is your host, Freddie Shaft. I do have to apologize. We've been kind of off there for a couple weeks with the holiday and work requirements. I've just been a little bit busy. I'd like to start off by saying that I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving and look forward to the upcoming Christmas. With families and friends. I do want to take a moment to thank all those folks, our active duty military members out there, with a special thanks to Senior Airman Matts, who's currently stationed in Greenland. He'll be away from his family this year. Just wish him the best and hope he has a enjoyable holiday season. The last couple weeks kind of been strange. Got a lot of feedback from the audience. I had a unique opportunity over the last couple of weeks to talk with a couple of gentlemen. What's really odd, and it was just out there, that I had two comments from two different individuals from the same company, but on the opposite sides of the United States. What I found really strange about this was that being that far away, working under the same company, doing the same products, both these gentlemen are, maintenance managers in these facilities. They go through the same struggles. They're both doing a lot of the same things, but from the support aspect within the facility, it's the same old, same old. It's always a maintenance problem or an engineering problem. Anytime something goes down, what's the first question that's always asked? I'd have to say, when was the last time it was PM'd? If anybody in the audience disagrees with that, hey, please feel free to reach out to me and tell me your thoughts about it. But getting back to these two gentlemen, and we'll call them, for this scenario, we'll call them Ricky and Cal. Obviously, I'm a fan of Talladega Nights, so we got Ricky and Cal, opposite sides of the country, manufacturing the same product in the same facilities, or different facilities with pretty much the same equipment. But it's the same old situation, we still run into to today. With that, it's always a maintenance problem. It's a maintenance problem. It's a maintenance problem. So I got a chance to read through the emails, and I reached out to both these gentlemen, kept it totally anonymous on both parts, and neither of them knew I was talking to each other. And it was just really interesting to hear their perspectives. I had one maintenance manager. This guy, he's ready to leave the company. And I'm, like I said, I kind of struggled with this over the last couple of weeks, just because I had my good friend KB on there, and we talked about team member engagement. But are we engaging our leadership? Are we engaging our management folks as well? Or, are they stuck being the cheerleader for their skilled trades out there on the floor? What are we doing to keep these leaders in place that we have today? Granted, there may be times when we need to move on, go through a change of leadership within a maintenance realm. But after talking with these two gentlemen, they've been in their prospective facilities probably for, between the two, over 25 years. So that, over this course of time, let's say that they've each been in their facilities for 12 and a half years, they've been doing something right. So I kind of engaged these two guys in conversation. We ended up having a very good talk about what's happening in their facilities. And it kind of goes back to, one guy. He feels, he's stuck there. But, I think everybody goes through those peaks and valleys. The other guy, he's got one foot out the door. He's actively working with headhunters. He's interviewing. And I kind of thought, well, why are you interviewing? Do you like it there? Yeah, I do pretty much like it. But he goes, I'm just tired of being blamed for everything. Everything's always a maintenance problem, always this. Excuse me, I had to take a sip of my adult beverage today. And so during the course of our conversation, I said, well, what is the problems? Typically they have a daily, staff meeting, and it's kind of prototypical, what everybody else is doing. They're talking about stuff that happened tomorrow. Guess what, guys? You can't fix the shit that happened yesterday. We can put corrective measures in place going forward, but we can't go back in the past. Hey, everybody would like to travel back in time to, fix this unique problem that came up, and hey, they can be the hero. But guess what? We can't change what happened yesterday. We have to be looking forward to the future, and maybe learning from that mistake or problem that happened the day prior, and putting something in place that's sustainable. Let's remember that word, sustainability. And hopefully prevent that going forward. So, talking, and we'll say Ricky's the West Coast guy. So after talking with Ricky, kind of understanding, the square footage of the facility he's working for, how many pieces of equipment, what's the processes they're going through, or the processes on their manufacturing lines. But you know what? Let's forget about the process, and let's forget about the product they're manufacturing. All in all, maintenance is maintenance. It doesn't matter if you're a, pharmaceutical, oil and gas, we're still doing the same things, maybe in a different manner, but the concepts, the theories are still the same. So we're talking about this. So I asked him, I said, what metrics are you using? Obviously they're using to evaluate their maintenance teams. They're using the basics, on time, PM, completion. They're using resource utilization, work order backlog, their percentage of reactive maintenance versus planned maintenance. They're looking at spares consumptions, so on and so forth. So I said, well, let's start with your preventive maintenance thing, or your preventative maintenance schedules that come out every day. And these guys, man, I mean, if you really look at them, man, they're doing a preventive maintenance every day. I mean, in a 1 week's time, they have like 2,000 preventive maintenance activities they do. 2,000. Now, granted, this facility is only about 180,000 square feet. So it's a small facility. I said, okay, let's just look at your preventive maintenance. So we started looking at their dailies. We started looking at their weeklies, their monthlies, or their biweeklies, their monthlies, their quarterly, semi-annuals, annuals. And he was kind enough to share this information with me. And we started looking at them. I said, okay, let's forget about let's just focus on your dailies. So we started looking at his dailies. And these guys, I mean, they're completing PMs, knocking out PMs. And I said, okay, what is your corrective maintenance items that are generated from your preventive maintenance? And he kind of just looks at me. He's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, okay, so you send technician A out to do whatever preventive maintenance on this piece of equipment today. What deficiencies are you finding? Oh, we're not recording anything. We just fix them on the fly. I said, well, that's one thing that I feel you should change from the get-go. You need to identify those correctives you're finding during your preventive maintenance inspections. And he's like, well, we can just fix them on the fly. I said, well, how do you know if what you're doing, based off your preventative maintenance, your technical work instructions, you should have, pictures, should have clear and concise steps that you want this technician to take care of. And he just wasn't grasping it. And And I was like, that's truly how you're going to evaluate your PM program. You know, because what is a PM? We're just guaranteeing. We're saying, hey, it's not going to break down until the next PM is due. That's all it is. So after, you know, about a 45-minute conversation about that, he started kind of getting on board. And I shared some resources with him. I think, you know, there's a really an outstanding book out there. It's called The Reliability Excellence Workbook from Ideas to Action, written by a good friend of mine, John L. Ross Jr. And then there's also Maintenance and Reliability Best Practices by Ramesh Gulati. I recommend it as like, hey, if you do anything today, you want to spend any money, let's forgo, you know, some luxury that you do every day and just buy these two books and start and read them. So we started looking at, you know, going through his PMs, and we focused on a group of PMs on specific equipment that he's doing every day. So I said, okay, so you send guys, you know, you send 10 guys out there every day. They do these same PMs over and over again. I said, let's take one. And we took one. We looked, I go, let's look at your PM steps. So we started looking at his PM steps. And really, all it was check this, look at that, measure this. Lube this, grease this, whatever, so on and so forth. There was no real clear, concise direction into the PM, what they're supposed to be doing. So I asked him, I said, typically, when are most of your preventive maintenance items done? And it's typically on your off shift, your third shift, maybe your second shift, depending on your type of business that you're in. And he goes, well, no, normally it's my second shift crew because they work 2/12s. And I said, okay, so when you look at the tenure of your team members, where's your most experience at? And obviously, and I think a lot of you would agree that day shift typically has your most seasoned multi-skill technicians out there, where the you know that's where your true knowledge of the equipment is. And I said, where you're trying to backfill your open positions are on night shift. He's like, yes, he agreed to that. And I said, okay, so you hire me. I'm any Tom, Dick, and Harry out, Dick or Harry off the street. And you say, okay, you're going to go do these 5 PMs today. So I'm looking at these. And so, okay, I find this piece of equipment and I find this list of instructions. Granted, in today's time, they're a little behind on their computerized maintenance management system. They don't have a real-time reporting. They're still utilizing. They have a system, but they're still printing out a paper copy. So I show up to tonight, tomorrow, whatever day, and I come in and I see my supervisors. You know, we have our daily safety meeting, which is required by their company. They just come in, read through a bunch of stuff. Okay, you know, is that really adding value? Is the guy learning anything? Now, granted, I'm not saying safety's not important, but that's a whole nother subject. We won't get into that. So my supervisor, your supervisor, hands me a stack of paperwork, which has all these equipments listed. It has the PM and it has go check this, look at this, do that, measure this, whatever. And I said, well, here's the first problem I saw with that. Is every step is open for interpretation. You did not tell me specifically. Now, granted, you got to remember, I'm a new guy off the street. Maybe only I do have a maintenance background, but maybe this is newer equipment to me. So the guy goes out, and man, he had beautiful record keeping. Granted, he had like probably a whole room full of file cabinets by dates, and you know they would purge, you know, after 2 years, they would purge out, put them into a banker's box and, you know, file them away somewhere in some little lost space of their facility. And they just kept this, but just the gobs and gobs amount of paper. And, you know, we looked at like the past 6 months. And granted, these guys went out there, every step was signed off on. It's like, good, hey, somebody comes in and audit, hey, we're doing the PMs, but what really value are these adding to you? He's like, well, what would you mean? I said, okay, you're having a guy do this activity every day. Is he changing the functionality of the equipment? Is he improving the reliability? Is he maintaining the inherent design of the equipment? I don't know. I said, by what you have listed here, which are all these steps, which are open for interpretation, because we could line 10 mechanics up and say, go check this, go measure this, depending which foot they're standing on, which eye they're looking at a tape measure, a slide rule, whatever, we could have a slight variance. And I said, so let's take this PM, for example, and let's be specific. What do you want the guy to do? What are the tolerances you're looking for? What lubrication does it need? Does he need a specific oil? So in that technical work instruction, that step, you should list the oil, the viscosity, and so on and so forth. How much should be added? What's the procedure for checking the oil within that step? And same way with greasing something. What is the specific grease that you want to be used? Is it a high pressure, high temp? Is it a food grade? Be specific. So if the guy needs a supply before he even gets out to the job, obviously we should all have a planner. They should have the job kit planned out and have this. But in this situation, he did not have a planner. They relied on their supervisors to do the planning, the scheduling, and the follow-up, which we can sit there and debate this. But I think that's a mistake. It's doing the maintenance team a disservice around there. So we got the first PM done. So we went to the next PM. I said, "What is this PM?" He goes, "Well, about 10 years ago, we had this bearing fail." It's like, okay, so a PM was put in place to prevent the failure. I said, "Well, have you had that failure since this time?" So we went back through his records. We pulled up the, and he goes, "Oh yeah, this happens, once a quarter, the bearing goes out." And I said, "Okay, so let's go back to PM. You've got a guy out there. He's doing the P every day. He's looking at this bearing. What's he testing around this bearing?" Well, he just looks at it, make sure it's okay. Well, once again, it's like, what do you want this guy to look for? We got to remember that, this in the maintenance realm, this is a race we're running. It's not a sprint. Fastest, we're going to put all these steps in place. It's more of a marathon. Slow, steady, constant improvement, sustainable improvement. So let's start putting items in place which are adding value to the activity that's going on, because looking at this guy's records, like I said, they were beautiful records, very meticulous. But all these activities, there was no corrective maintenance being generated from all these activities. And I think after probably about 4 hours over multiple phone calls of talking with this gentleman, he was kind of getting on board. Obviously, he has some opportunities, with his existing CMMS system. I gave him a very good example. I do recommend a lot of folks, if you're looking for a new CMMS system, you should look at Leading to Lean. It's more than a CMMS system. There's a lot of different modules within it, but outstanding. It's a product I believe in, a product that I would feel comfortable recommending to anybody in the whole world that's dealing with maintenance and operations and quality. So, his biggest is every day in this morning meeting after he's done all this preventive maintenance. It's always who did the preventive maintenance last? So he's got to go up there. Well, Joe Blow did this preventive maintenance last. Well, they want to discipline the poor guy. Well, then, they end up disciplining, they coach him, or whatever their process was. Well, after about two or three, the poor guy, he's fed up with the shit, so he bails off. He goes to another company where, once again, the guy's got to, or people have to feel valued, that they're making a difference. The guy was doing what he was supposed to do, based off the technical work instructions. Granted, they ran a lean ship, had one supervisor for about 40 guys, which was probably a little too much, without the proper support staff, planning, scheduling, a good MRO team in place. And so this guy, he'd go up every morning, he's getting beat up over these, who did the last PM? Who did the last PM? Well, I really don't give a shit who did the last one. What are we going to do to correct this going forward? What are we going to do? So then I actually kind of sent him down the preventive maintenance optimization path. And there's a couple of good tools out there. There's a lot of good resources. I do highly recommend the Marshall Institute and the North Carolina State University, the MRM program, which is a good point to make, because when we put these leaders, maybe it's a first line supervisor within the maintenance realm or engineering realm, we felt they had the leadership abilities, but do they really have the technical skills? So now I'm kind of getting a little off here. So this poor guy, he's beat up every morning. It's always maintenance fault. It's always maintenance fault. It's always maintenance fault. Well, we didn't get started on time because it was maintenance fault. So we kind of took one day, we looked at it. And I said, well, there obviously we have a we didn't generate any corrective maintenance off all these PMs we were doing, but they had a startup proactive maintenance activity. The technician there, he set up a line. Well, so we went and we found this technician that, or he went and found this technician and asked him, what happened? Well, nobody was here from operations. And I said, well, what do you mean nobody was there? Well, one, they were late getting to the line. They didn't start production line on time, so on and so forth. And I said, well, how is that the maintenance problem? Well, they recorded right here in downtime. And I said, by God, man, that's your problem right there. If you're going to sit there and just be accused of that every day, so be it. Your life's going to suck no matter what. But if I was you, I would have as much documentation. I'd go into that morning staff meeting, and anybody that said, hey, it was a maintenance issue, the machine wasn't ready to run. Well, I'm not generating any work. Nobody's calling for maintenance. So what's the problem? Push it back. After probably four or five times of having, the documented information right there in front of you. And if you're talking to a plant manager, a director of operations, or so on and so forth, they're finally going to get tired of it. And if it's the same old thing, well, operations wasn't there on time, they're eventually going to turn to that operations manager saying, look, what the fuck's the problem? Why are we not starting on time? Because we all know if you don't start on time, you're not going to make that up. So I feel really good about the conversation I had with the West Coast guy. Now, when we get over to the East Coast guy, same company, same processes, they're making the same product, very similar equipment, like equipment. This guy's got one foot out the door. And he goes, well, what do I do? He goes, he had a little bit more knowledge in regards to preventative maintenance, corrective maintenance. And I said, man, and this might be right or wrong, but he's already made the decision. He's sick of it. He's probably going to take the next opportunity that's thrown in front of him. May it be, could it be a better situation? Maybe a worse situation. I don't know. But after talking with this gentleman on the East Coast and what he's dealing with, obviously, not only from a labor shortage is an engagement, and he's tried to be the cheerleader. He's been the champion of change. But and I said, you know what? That's great, but you can't get to that culture until you start changing the behavior. And if basically your technicians can come in any day and do whatever they want, you are the leader in that facility. You have maintenance supervisors, you have other people working under you, where you have to drive that behavior change yourself. if you're not gonna do it, and I said, you've been there a number of years, 12 over 10 years, it's probably time for a change. But when you go to your next opportunity that you do have, you take a lot of the knowledge you learn from the mistakes and take that with you and make the change from day one. Change that behavior, and so you can actually get to that culture you're looking for. Because this guy, the East Coast guy, I'm, chatting with him, and I probably had a number of conversations with him offline via email and telephone calls. But I think he's done. I really do. And nobody at his facility has recognized the fact that this guy's checked out. Why is that? I mean, not only from his peers on the operational side and other support areas, but the plant manager or whomever he reports to, they haven't recognized that this guy's checked out. He's just going through the motions. And it just boggles my mind that we, as leaders, being a direct in the direct chain of command or the indirect chain of command, hasn't noticed that this guy's checked out. We're just going through the motions. We're not putting in sustainable corrective actions to improve. So he might as well go. I've kind of rambled on about this a little bit, and like I said, I've been torn over the last couple of weeks, talking with both these gentlemen. And by no means am I sitting here saying, hey, I'm the expert, I know everything. But it was just good feedback to hear the audience out there say, hey, come back, help me out. So please feel free if you have any questions, if you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email at freddyshaft70@gmail.com, and let's start talking through some of these issues, because I know there's a lot of folks out there, from some of the feedback I have gotten, that are running the same problems. But let's talk about it. This is an open forum. I don't have all the answers. I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I think I have the resources to, not only with myself, a lot of my peers, contacts, but the whole audience. We have a lot of knowledge out there, and if it's, hey, let's do a group conversation. If you guys out, if anyone out there wants to do and have a roundtable discussion, let's do it. Let's put it together. Let's get the word out there. I want to make this an open forum, so we can voice these concerns to everybody out there. But hey, I'm gonna wrap this up for today. I know I've kind of rambled on a little bit. Appreciate it. Once again, if you'd like to have a suggestion for the show, would like to be part of the show, just shoot me an email at freddyshaft70@gmail.com. Happy holidays to everyone. Take care.